This is a weekly roundup of the John Lothian News Daily Update for the week of October 19th, 2020.
This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 19th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Here are today's comments from the hits and takes section of JLN. Exchanges. Euronext was down due to technical issues, but has resumed. Coronavirus. India peaking. Sweden moving away from no lockdown. World hits 400,000 new virus case record. Chicago is the rattiest city. China economy grows 4.9%. Thank you to our newest contributors to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Contributors include retired Cargill Investor Services executive Jan Wei, an early newsletter subscriber. Also giving were Buck Hayworth, founder and CFO of Born Tech, executive director and associate general counsel at CME Group, Mo Guilfoyle, Alston Trading CEO Nancy Stern, Hollis Griffin, TD Ameritrade executive J.B. McKenzie, and Jordan & Jordan president and CEO Tom Jordan. We received another $500 anonymous donation as well. Thank you to all those who have given and those who have yet to give. Former CBOT member Ross Prio III has passed away at the age of 67. Prio grew up less than half a mile from my family's summer home in Williams Bay, Wisconsin, and graduated from Williams Bay High School. My local school district, number 205 in Elmhurst, Illinois, has decided to go back to remote-only learning after the coronavirus numbers in DuPage County have recently surged. I watched the Pete Souza documentary on MSNBC last night on the recommendation of my daughter, Catherine. The documentary was outstanding, and I have great respect for Souza and his message. Sarah Rudolph reports that Women in Listed Derivatives, or WILD, is holding an online auction for its Next Generation Women in Finance Scholarship fundraiser starting October 16th to October 28th and culminating in a spooky trivia fun on 10/28. It is open to everyone and the bidding ends 7 p.m. on 10/28. 100% of the proceeds from the auction and the trivia event go to fund the Next Generation Women in Finance Scholarship. You can go to johnlothiannews.com for registration links in today's newsletter. The spread this week with Matt Rabel is titled Remembering Joe Sullivan. This week on the spread, a binary options fraudster is charged by the CFTC. The father of the VIX publishes a paper on leverage ETPs, and we take a moment to remember the remarkable life of Joseph Sullivan. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Chicago is the rattiest city in America for the sixth year in a row. This is a story from CNN. Chicago is the sixth time holder of a title that no city wants. The Windy City has toppled the list of the rattiest cities in the United States for the sixth year in a row. Orkin, an Atlanta-based pest control service, ranks U.S. cities based on the number of new rodent treatments from September 1 to August 31st of each year. The result is a list of 50 cities with most changing spots each time the list is updated. Chicago, however, is still number one. Citadel Securities sues the SEC. At issue, the agency's okayed an order type introduced by stock exchange operator IEX. Says one industry analyst, it's a far step to sue your regulator. This will make rule settling very difficult. The story is by Bloomberg. Citadel LLC sued the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission over regulators' approval of an order type introduced by stock exchange operator IEX. The SEC failed to properly consider the costs and burdens imposed by this proposal that will undermine the reliability of our markets and harm tens of millions of retail investors, Citadel Securities said in a statement after the petition was filed Friday with the U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington. Tech's influence over markets eclipses dot-com bubble peak. Companies that do everything from manufacturing phones to operating social media platforms now account for nearly 40% of the S&P 500. The story is from the New York Times. Technology companies are set to end the year with their greatest share of the stock market ever, topping a dot-com era peak in the latest illustration of their growing influence on global consumers. Companies that do everything from manufacturing phones to operating social media platforms now account for nearly 40% of the S&P 500, on pace to eclipse a record of 37% from 1999, according to a Dow Jones market data analysis of annual market value data going back 30 years. Apple Inc., which earlier this year became the first U.S. company to hit a $2 trillion market capitalization, accounts for more than 7% of the index on its own. Early last month, it accounted for 8% of the S&P, the largest share ever for any stock data going back to 1998. Here are the top three most read stories from Friday's John Lothian newsletter. Our top story Friday was CBOE agrees to acquire BIDS Trading from The Trade. Second was JLN's Joe Sullivan's Influence and Success Part 2. Third was Pilot Swap Cockpit for Trading Screens from The Financial Times. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 20th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Here are today's comments from the Hits and Takes section of JLN. New contributors to the JLN Markets Wiki GoFundMe campaign include Chris McNulty. McNulty Sr. is a managing director and COO at Geneva Trading. Thank you to all who have given and all who have yet to give. You can help us preserve the history of our industry by supporting this fundraising campaign. FTSE Russell has a webinar on Thursday, October 22nd at 12 p.m. Eastern Time about what's been driving U.S. equity markets outperformance. You can register at johnlothiannews.com on today's newsletter. Reminder, the webinar with Quantitative Brokers and Eurex on Transaction Cost Model Market Liquidity Impacted Across European Interest Rate Futures is on Wednesday, October 21st at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. Again, the registration is on the newsletter on johnlothiannews.com. One more note about the passing of Ross Prio III. His family was asking for donations to the William Guy Forbeck Research Foundation or the American Heart Association. Here is the story on the Forbeck Foundation. In 1983, at the age of 10, William Billy Guy Forbeck was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, a rare childhood cancer that affects only 650 children a year. Billy died 13 months later. His parents, George and Jennifer Forbeck, established the foundation in his memory. George Forbeck was a longtime member of the Chicago Board of Trade and a large and influential corn pit broker. The foundation promotes advances in the field of oncology, particularly pediatric oncology, by shortening the cancer research timetable. This is just another example of the good work done in the world by someone from the world of futures. Last week, the Wall Street Journal had a story about CBOE founder Joseph Sullivan III, which made reference to a plywood contract at the CBOT and said the contract flopped. According to a paper written by then-CBOT chief economist Richard Sandor, NYMEX actually listed an unsuccessful plywood contract in 1969. It traded 5,299 contracts its first year. At the Chicago Board of Trade, interest in developing a plywood contract went as far back as 1957. A newly hired researcher in what was to become the planning department researched the plywood market and delivered an extensive report in January of 1969. The CBOT members voted 514-25 on July 29, 1969, to approve trading in plywood futures. After some revisions to the contract specifications, plywood futures started trading on December 1, 1969. The plywood contract traded 394 contracts in 1969 and then 47,426,000 in 1970. There were more than 1,000 contracts settled by delivery in 1970. The paper by Sandor was published in the Journal of Law and Economics in April of 1973 as part of the University of Chicago. I would call that a successful contract, though it ultimately did not survive. It actually survived longer as the basis of an NFA Series 3 question. I can remember the contract specifications were required to answer a question, even though in 1985 the contract had not traded for several years. The Chicago Board of Trade Clearing Corp Foundation has pledged $25,000 to the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards fundraising event. This is the last year of the foundation, so this donation is especially precious to the Boy Scouts. Thank you to all of the trustees for your unwavering support of the Boy Scouts of the Pathway to Adventure Council of the Boy Scouts of America, especially David Johnson, who has been an especially generous trustee. The LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards event will be virtual this year and held on December 3rd. Pat Kenny of CQG is this year's chairperson. A reminder from Sarah Rudolph. The annual conference of futures and derivatives will be held on October 20th at 1 p.m. Chicago time. Sponsored by Thompson, Coburn, and Exchange Analytics, the free online webinar will address the current state of industry regulation and enforcement. Speakers include James M. McDonald, the former director of enforcement for the CFTC, as well as ex-federal prosecutor and Thompson, Coburn partner Renato Mariotti. To register, go to johnlothiannews.com and see our newsletter from today. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From Bloomberg, money laundering detectives have been out at the pub. Australian regulators got caught up monitoring nickel and dime business for far too long. The Crown Casino affair shows things are starting to change. Why did it take media reporting to get Australia's money laundering investigators to start looking into casino operator Crown Resorts Limited? Shares in the gambling company previously controlled by billionaire James Packer slumped 8.2% Monday after it said the country's financial crimes regulator, AUSTRAC, had started a probe into the handling of high-risk and politically exposed individuals in its Melbourne casino. The investigation started 2 months after Nine Entertainment Company newspapers published a series of articles about the activities of high-rolling Chinese gamblers at the Crown's properties. My comment was, what you catch all depends on the size of the hook you are using. Here's a story from CoinDesk. Cryptographers are always going to be, quote, one step ahead, unquote, of regulators. While regulators are trying to restrict privacy in crypto, their efforts may be futile, according to privacy-centric protocol Monero's maintainer, Ricardo Fluffy Pony Spagni. My comment is, funny, criminals say the same thing. Here's a story from Bloomberg again. Economists found $16 trillion when she tallied the cost of racial bias. Dana Peterson, who was a Citigroup global economist, recalled her own experiences of bigotry while researching how gaps between black and white Americans eat into economic output. As protests against racial injustice erupted across the U.S. in late May, an economist on Wall Street set aside her usual work of analyzing monetary policy and all things macro to try her hand at something few in her field have attempted, quantifying the cost of racism to the world's largest economy. My comment is, no matter who it is against, hold back economic growth. We reduce our human potential by succumbing to stupidity. Here are the top three most read stories from yesterday's JLN. We went from Chicago to London in our top three stories on Monday. First was Chicago is the rattiest city in America for the sixth year in a row from CNN. Second was Citadel Security sues SEC from Chicago's Crane Chicago business. Third was Bloomberg's piece, Trading Ring That Survived Two World Wars May Succumb to a Virus, about the iconic London Metal Exchange trading ring. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN with a story from Suzanne Cosgrove and Sarah Rudolph of John Lothian News. The title is Regulation and Enforcement Continue Apace Despite COVID's Onslaught, Regulators Say. Fresh from his exit from the CFTC several weeks ago, James McDonald, former director of the agency's enforcement division, Tuesday addressed several big-picture themes advanced by the CFTC during his tenure. The goal was to redouble our focus on what we view as the core violations of the Commodities Exchange Act, including manipulation and fraud, McDonald said. You saw that actually play out in a few different ways, he said. You saw it in terms of the number and depth of our commitment in trying to root out manipulative trading in markets, whether it was spoofing or something else. During the fiscal year 2020, which ended September 30th, the CFTC filed 113 enforcement actions, more than any other year in the agency's history, and imposed the largest monetary relief in the agency's history. In that case, J.P. Morgan and Company agreed to pay the U.S. government $920 million in fines and disgorgement to settle spoofing charges, the largest payment ever agreed to by a defendant to settle a futures market manipulation charge. To read the rest of the story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Thank you to Brian Mehta, the Chief Marketing Officer of Trading Technologies, for his donation to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Brian is a fellow resident of Elmhurst, Illinois, and one of the thought leaders in our industry around marketing. Thank you to Brian, all who have given, and all those who have yet to give. Please support our campaign and help us preserve industry history. Right now is an excellent time to bone up on trading and investing opportunities. Some of our sponsors and friends are offering webinars looking at different markets, their role in your portfolio, and other nuances. For example, I give you the FTSE Russell webinar for tomorrow. The webinar panel will look at, quote, what factors will be driving its outperformance between U.S. large and small cap stocks and suggest ways investors can use trading and product strategies to manage risk and tap into market opportunity, unquote. The panel of speakers will cover drivers of U.S. equity indices outperformance, the weight of technology companies and other sector-weighted contributions to returns, historical performance of U.S. equities leading into and coming out of U.S. general elections, and stock-level concentration performance effect. The lineup of speakers is outstanding. It includes Kelly Akulian, CFA, Director of iShares America's Market Coverage at BlackRock, Tim Accourt, Managing Director, Global Head of Equity Products at the CME Group, Mark Barnes, PhD, Head of Investment Research America's FTSE Russell. The moderator is the brilliant Catherine Yashimoto, Director of Product Management at FTSE Russell. So don't forget to register and attend the FTSE Russell webinar on Thursday, October 22nd at 12 p.m. Eastern Time about what's been driving U.S. equity market outperformance. You can register at johnlothiannews.com. The link is in today's newsletter. Also, Greenwich Analytics is offering an opportunity to look at equity markets from another angle. They are hosting a webinar on options, growth, volatility, and outlook following U.S. elections on Wednesday, October 28th, starting at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Ken Monahan, Senior Analyst, Market Structure and Technology, is moderating the event. Panelists include Stino Mileto, Co-Chief Operating Officer at Dash Financial Technologies, Danny Kirch, Head of Options Trading and Strategy at Cornerstone Macro, and Will Bartlett, Managing Member at Parallax Volatility Advisors. Register at johnlothiannews.com in today's newsletter. Another event on a subject for exchange professionals is being offered by the Association of Futures Markets. The event will look at how to achieve innovation in commodity derivative product development. The panel includes moderator Chris Sturgis of South Africa, Brian Brown of Euronext France, Clive Furness of Contango Markets in the UK, Rinjay Chakornapap of Thailand, and Mauricio Eduardo Perez y Souza of Mexico. Sorry for any mispronunciations of the names. You can register via email at conference@afmorg.net. That's conference@afmorg.net. Today we have a video in our Path to Electronic Trading series featuring Ralph Moses. Ralph was a pioneer in developing electronic trading systems, and the one he built for Lynn Waldock eventually became RAN Order, which I used in the early 2000s as the head of electronic trading at the Price Futures Group. I owe a debt of gratitude to Ralph for his work as I used his system and grew my electronic trading business with it. Were you an open outcry trader? Are you willing to tell your story to a camera? We can interview over Zoom from the comfort of your own home. Contact me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com if you're interested. Do you have a story to tell about adapting to the world of electronic trading? We would like to talk to you about participating in our The Path to Electronic Trading video series. Contact me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. And finally, in Hits and Takes from Sarah Rudolph, the FIA has a webinar on October 27th at 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Margin Processing, the Clearing Firm Perspective. The moderator is Don Byron, Head of Global Industry Operations and Execution at the FIA, and the presenters are Alistair Sayers, Head of Funding and Optimization Collateral Management at UBS, Diane Sherman, Director and Head of Global Collateral Management at Bank of America Securities, and John Schlamp, Senior Vice President, Macquarie Futures USA. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Ralph Moses, The Path to Electronic Trading. Ralph Moses started in futures with Gelderman, helping them use a new IBM mainframe. He later started developing a system called Order Express for Lynn Waldeck, one of the first electronic trading front ends. He used an IBM System 1 mini computer with 2 megabytes of memory. He built a risk management system that could tell if an account was at risk depending on how markets were moving. This helped Lynn Waldeck avoid significant risk during the stock market crash of 1987. To view the video, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the FT. 2 top Morgan Stanley commodities traders lose jobs over use of WhatsApp. Wall Street continues clampdown on communication channels it cannot monitor. Morgan Stanley's 2 most senior commodities traders have lost their jobs for using WhatsApp and other unauthorized messaging platforms, reflecting Wall Street's continued clampdown on communication channels that it cannot monitor. Nancy King, Morgan Stanley's global head of commodities, and Jay Rubenstein, the bank's head of commodities trading, are both leaving the bank after a probe into their use of unauthorized communication systems, according to a person familiar with the situation. This is a strong case for Symphony and other platforms that meet the regulatory requirements the regulators are looking for. WhatsApp is a favorite of some criminals, some government officials, and certain son-in-laws. Here's a story from the New York Times. It has hit us with a vengeance. Virus surges again across the United States. Unlike earlier outbreaks concentrated in Northeast and South, the virus is simmering at a worrisome level in most regions. As the coronavirus races across the country, it has reached every corner of a nursing home in Kansas infecting all 62 residents inside. There are so few hospital beds available in North Dakota that patients sick with the virus are being ferried by ambulance to facilities 100 miles away. And in Ohio, more people are hospitalized with the virus than at any other time during the pandemic. My comment is, at first we were unaware, naive, or stupid. Now we are just tired and wanting this to be over. But that is the wrong attitude. The right attitude is we need to persevere and stay safe. This is life until further notice. Deal with it. Here's a story from the New York Times. How to break the hold of conspiracy theories. The big lesson of 2020 is that everything keeps getting more dishonest. Here's the story. Lately, I've been pulling an embarrassing amount of thought into notions like jinxes and knocking on wood. The polls for Joe Biden look good, but in 2020, any hint of optimism feels dangerously naive, and my brain has been working overtime in search of potential doom. Here are the top three most read stories from JLN yesterday. Our top story Tuesday was Bloomberg's The Post-COVID Trading Floor is Here with Buffet Lunches No Masks about China in the wake of COVID-19. Second was Citadel Securities Transformed U.S. Hotel into Noah's Ark for Traders at Height of Pandemic from the Trade. Third was, once again in the top three, Chicago is the rattiest city in America for the sixth year in a row from CNN. Yay, Chicago. This is John Lothian with the daily update and commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 22nd, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. We lead off JLN today with a story that I wrote, Harris K. Joins Murphy & McGonigal. The law firm of Murphy & McGonigal has opened a Chicago office staffed by industry veteran Harris K. K. worked with the principals of M&M at a previous firm, so this is a coming home of sorts. It is also an expansion of Murphy & McGonigal's footprint, as the firm also recently opened an office in San Francisco, California. Before joining Murphy & McGonigal, Kay was with Greensfelder, Hemker & Gale, PC. He has also practiced with Greenberg Traurig, LLP, Henderson Law, LLP, LeClaire Ryan, and Hunton & Williams. It was at LeClaire Ryan that James Murphy, the co-founder who put the Murphy in Murphy & McGonigal, took Kay under his wing 10 years ago and mentor him, Kay told JLN. To read the rest of this story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. New donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign came from Barchart and Kevin Darby. Thank you to Barchart and their CEO, Mark Heriberta. My roots with Barchart go back to the days of Barchart founder Dave Loudon in the 1990s. Kevin Darby is with CQG after the recent deal for Blue Trading Systems to be acquired by CQG. Thank you to both, all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by supporting our GoFundMe campaign. The latest edition of FIA's Market Voice is now available. You can find it on johnlothiannews.com in today's newsletter. Today is the virtual Rocktoberfest for A Leg to Stand On. The fundraising event features videos of industry bands who have helped raise funds for the charity. With the retirement of NASDAQ Chief Financial Officer Michael Plasnik and the ascension of Controller and Chief Accounting Officer Ann Dennison to the position, NASDAQ will be one of just five companies in the S&P 500 with both a female CEO and female CFO. The other companies are Oracle, Tapestry, Kohl's Corporation, Gap Inc., and Arista Networks Inc. Dennison takes over the CEO role in March. Another webinar to check out is from ArisX, presenting on crypto for FCM customer accounts. Did you ever want to deposit virtual currencies to margin transactions in virtual currencies? Well, this is a webinar to learn about that. The webinar is on October 29th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and includes a Washington insider, Scott Parsons, a guy in a fishing vest with lots of thoughts on cryptocurrencies, Gary DeWall, one cool accountant, Todd Brigg, another hip accountant from the same firm, Jay Shulman, and the man with a chip on his shoulder about cryptocurrency and the CEO of ErisX, Tom Chippas. You can register at johnlothiannews.com. Look in today's newsletter. OSTC CEO Lee Hodgkinson announced on LinkedIn that OSTC is hiring traders. He says that thanks to OSTC's substantial investments in AI and digital learning solutions, the company now offers a full suite of onboarding, training, and mentoring activities remotely. The London Stock Exchange commissioned a special report with Acuity Management Intelligence on the LIBOR transition, current challenges on the long road to resolution. You can download the paper at our website, johnlothiannews.com, and replay the webinar there. Look in today's newsletter for the links. Clive Furness says Contango Markets has developed an innovative hedging methodology for physical commodity markets participants who are exposed to the mismatch of cash flows between a physical and futures trade. He claims the Contango hedge is significantly cheaper than a traditional hedge funded by margin finance and is designed for companies who value the relationships that they have built over the years in the physical markets. This works for any major commodity or energy asset class. You can contact him at clive@contango.co.uk if you want to learn more. Maggie Sklar of the Financial Markets Group of the Chicago Federal Reserve has published her first working paper on CCPs about the financial systemic implications of access and non-access to Federal Reserve deposit accounts. The title of the paper is What Are the Financial Systemic Implications of Access and Non-Access to Federal Reserve Deposit Accounts for Central Counterparties? The Metropolitan Transportation Authority in New York is offering a real-time map with train locations and delays. The digital map also updates on elevators and escalators that are out of service. This is new and very useful. NASDAQ's third quarter earnings were up 13% from a year ago, thanks in part to record options trading volumes. NASDAQ's U.S. traded equity options volumes were up 52% on last year, hitting a record 660 million contracts. Profits from NASDAQ's index products were also a significant factor, Matt Rabel reports. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video in our Path to Electronic Trading series of Mike Unitich. Mike Unitich always liked trading and investing classes in college, and in fact started trading options from his dorm room. He saw newspaper ads for an option floor clerk position, and through some friends who worked at Spearleads and Kellogg in New York, was referred to DRW in Chicago, where he was hired. He started in the Eurodollar pit, and then at the age of 24, transferred to the 10-year note options pit at the Chicago Board of Trade. He would also trade on the CBOE for DRW before breaking off for himself and trading Eurodollars. It's a great interview. You should go to johnlothiannews.com to see the video. Here's a story from the CFTC, big announcement related to the ErisX webinar I mentioned before. CFTC issues staff advisory on virtual currency for futures commission merchants. The Division of Swap Dealer and Intermediary Oversight of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission today issued an advisory to future commission merchants regarding the holding of virtual currency in segregated accounts. The advisory provides guidance to FCMs on how to hold and report certain deposited virtual currency from customers in connection with physically delivered futures contracts or swaps. The advisory also provides guidance that FCMs should follow when designing and maintaining risk management programs concerning the acceptance of virtual currencies as customer funds. You can attend the ARIS-X webinar on this subject and learn more. The pandemic's real toll, 300,000 deaths. It's not from the coronavirus. A CDC analysis finds the overall death rates have risen, particularly among young adults and people of color. This is a story from the New York Times. The coronavirus pandemic caused nearly 300,000 deaths in the United States through early October, federal researchers said on Tuesday. The new tally includes not only deaths known to have been directly caused by the coronavirus, but also roughly 100,000 fatalities that are indirectly related and would not have occurred if not for the virus. The study published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is an attempt to measure excess deaths or deaths from all causes that statistically exceed those normally occurring in a certain period of time. The total included deaths from COVID-19, the illness caused by the coronavirus, that were misclassified or missed altogether. There's a story from the FT when Milton Friedman, prophet of profit, met a pandemic. Coronavirus sheds fresh light on the economist's narrow definition of social responsibility. Among the many things Milton Friedman could not have predicted in 1970 was that the 50th anniversary of his famous New York Times essay, headlined "The Social Responsibility of Business is to Increase Profits," would fall in the middle of a global pandemic. My comment is, I would ask Leo Melamed what Friedman would say. Leo was a close friend of the late influential economist. There's a story from UPI. Norwegian official apologizes for making 2020 an hour longer. The Norwegian official responsible for daylight savings time in the country apologized for adding an additional hour to what has already been a very demanding year. Here are the top three most read stories from yesterday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was Bloomberg's commodity king ADM pivots to pet food, veggie burgers, and probiotics. Second was the Financial Times' two top Morgan Stanley commodities traders lose jobs over use of WhatsApp. Third was, spoke to a scholar of conspiracy theories and I'm scared for all of us, from the New York Times. This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 15th, 2020. Here are today's comments from the hits and takes section of JLN. It is with sadness that I report to you the death of longtime SocGen and New Edge technology executive Ed Netter. Here's the message I received from Leslie Sutphin, a longtime colleague of Netter's. Ed was a pioneer in the support of electronic trading and an amazing and tenacious problem solver. He also learned all of the intricacies of trader identification, trade reporting, and owner and control identification. He was also a board member of the FIA Market Technology Board. He was a very kind and supportive human being and a wonderful colleague. Many of us will miss him. May his memory be a blessing. The JLN GoFundMe campaign to support MarketsWiki education and our general operations continues to attract new donors. We are now up to $5,291 of the $300,000 goal. The latest donations were from Les Mail, Ananda Radhakrishnan, Julie Bauer, and in honor of TJC. Les Mail is the chief executive officer of the Dubai Gold and Commodities Exchange. Julie Bauer is an executive vice president, government relations and investor education at the OCC. Ananda Radhakrishnan is a former CFTC director, Division of Clearing and Risk, who is now Vice President of Bank Derivatives Policy and General Counsel at the ABA Securities Association. The in honor of TJC, I can only guess, is in honor of Thomas J. Cashman, my good friend, former employer, and mentor. Thank you to all of them, all who have given, and all who have yet to give. There's a new episode of the STA's podcast series, STA Trading Views. In the podcast, STA sat down with U.S. Representative Bill Huizinga of Michigan, ranking member of the Subcommittee on Investor Protection, Entrepreneurship, and Capital Markets. They cover the coronavirus pandemic, the state of disclosure around U.S. politics, Jay Clayton's priorities at the SEC, entrepreneurship, and much more. Eurex has an hour-long webinar on October 20th in partnership with Philip Capital at 11 a.m. Central Daylight Time. The title of the webinar is Eurex, the Gateway to Europe. Sign-up link is on johnlothiannews.com. The FIA has a new video on their website titled Who Are We? In the video, you can learn about the FIA and their role in the derivatives markets. The American Financial Exchange, an electronic exchange for direct lending and borrowing of American banking and financial institutions, announced today that the AFX American Interbank Offering Rate, or Ameribor, has been independently reviewed as of June 30, 2020, and has been reaffirmed to meet all 19 principles set forth by the International Organization of Securities Commission, or IOSCO, for financial benchmarks. Rob Merlis and Ed Haravan have emerged from their entrepreneurial COVID-19 bunkers and launched a new endeavor, Get Real, which helps clients imagine and leverage virtual reality and augmented technology to improve the way they work. Merlis and Haravan are former spot trading executives. Pan Exchange blog has a transcript of a conversation between Pan Exchange CEO Julie Lerner and Moaram Ventures founder and president Tariq Moaram, titled Between Two Hemp Stalks. My son Tim's roommate tested negative for COVID-19. My wife, my daughter, and I had seen Tim over last weekend, so there was concern we might have been exposed through him. But no is the answer. Sarah Rudolph reports the FIA released its September 2020 volume highlights, which include worldwide volume of exchange-traded derivatives, was 4.24 billion contracts in the month of September, up 13.9% from the previous month and up 41.2% from September of 2019. On a year-to-date basis, volume in the first 9 months of the year was 33.68 billion contracts, up 30.3% from the first 9 months of 2019. Total open interest at the end of September was 964.8 million contracts, down 1.6% from the previous month, but up 5.4% from a year ago. Here are some more stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter. From Crane's Chicago Business, Joe Cahill writes, "When spoofers are sidelined, we all win. Sure, some complain that prosecutors are going too far, but without a foundation of integrity, markets sink into corruption, becoming swindlers' havens to be avoided by anybody unwilling to play the patsy." Recent victories for federal prosecutors battling illegal trading practices in derivatives markets are important wins for all of us. As my colleague Lynn Merrick reported in Crane's This Week, the feds are finally gaining the upper hand in their fight to stamp out spoofing, a deceptive tactic that has infected markets over the past decade or so. Spoofers seek to trick honest traders by entering orders they have no intention of fulfilling, quickly removing them when somebody bites, and then capitalizing on the resulting market action. USA Today reports free face masks. Hormel Foods giving away breathable bacon masks. Bacon lovers, there's a new mask for you. Hormel Foods, known for its black label bacon, announced the launch of Breathable Bacon, what it calls a revolutionary face mask featuring the latest in pork-scented technology. The New York Times reports, as virus spread, reports of Trump administration's private briefings fueled sell-off. A hedge fund consultant summary of private presentations by White House economic advisors fanned investors' worries. On the afternoon of February 24th, President Trump declared on Twitter that the coronavirus was, quote, very much under control, unquote, in the United States. Numerous rosy statements that he made and his advisors made at the time about the worsening epidemic. He even added an observation for investors: stock market starting to look very good to me. Here's the Get Real announcement from Merrill's and Haravon. Get Real launches new advisory firm to help clients imagine and leverage virtual reality and augmented reality technology to improve the way they work. Get Real works with clients to establish scalable and successful VR/AR strategies and programs to enable companies and organizations to more effectively train, collaborate, market, visualize data, gather, educate, and raise money. Get Real, a virtual reality and augmented reality advisory firm, publicly launched today to help businesses and not-for-profits implement VR and AR technologies that dramatically improve and scale their organizations. Clients will benefit from Get Real's team of professionals that combine several decades of experience in leveraging emerging technologies and integrated platforms to solve real-world business challenges and create sustainable competitive advantages. Here are the top three most read stories from yesterday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was Crane's Chicago. One of Chicago's biggest high-speed trading firms makes a surprising move about DRW Execution Services applying to become a clearing member of the CME Group. Second was Jefferies puts maximum exposure to loss due to involvement with FXCM at $136.8 million from FX News Group. Third was my piece, Joe Sullivan's Influence and Success, from JLN. Here are your MarketsWiki stats of the day. The site has 190,149,149 pages viewed, with 24,460 pages on the site, with 226,319 edits. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day, and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com.